Prevention Partnership and its mentor program partners. This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. Brought to you by the Water Innovations Foundation. Solving the world's water problems through technology. Learn more at waterinnovations.org.
Welcome back to This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. Oh, just a reminder, you can always call in and be part of the show. 203-333-WICC. That's 333-9422 or 1-800-922-6060. And we were just talking to Phil Mortensen. Now we're going to talk to Philip LaPelle, which we're trying not to confuse you with Phil and Phil, but that's just the way it goes tonight. So, Phil, nice to have you with us tonight.
Hi, thank you. Nice to be here.
Good to have you along. And, you know, we hear a lot about illegal immigration, but that's only part of the immigration story, correct? I mean, we also have an issue as far as foreign employees trying to get a visa to work for a company here when they have a specific skill or talent that's needed by that company, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I think the overall picture is that if you look at global labor data for the science and engineering workforce, U.S. world share is declining, even as we rely more and more on foreign-born scientists and engineers. So even with letting people in, giving them visas, et cetera, we're sort of not keeping up with demand.
Are we not educating people here to have those same skills?
Well, we're certainly educating some. A lot of the people who we're educating are in fact foreign-born or even non-resident aliens. Those numbers, as you go through the education system, as you go from bachelor's degree to master's to doctorate, the percentage of non-resident aliens goes up. So, bachelor's degrees, about 96% go to American citizens or legal residents, permanent residents, I should say. By the time you get to master's degrees, that's down from 96% to 74%. And when you get to doctoral degrees, it's down to 56%.
And Phil, you have a PhD in physics.
Yeah.
And many of the programs I see now, sometimes 8 out of 10 of the PhD candidates are in fact foreign-born.
Yeah, in individual programs, I'm sure that's the case. You know, overall, close to half. Of course, partially that's because we have such strong research universities. And so when you're getting to the kind of the level of degree, and we give out a large percentage of the total degrees at that level in the world, so people come from all over the world to study here. And really, in terms of the immigration issue, I think the question is, okay, so we have these people who come here to study in our great universities, and they get these skills, and many of them would like to stay here and contribute, you know, to our economy and our companies and our universities. And do we want them to do that, or do we want to say no? Go somewhere else and take what we've learned here and bring it somewhere else.
Yeah, we sort of glossed over something that you guys just mentioned, which is that if we are educating the majority of PhDs, we'll call them, or doctorates for the world, and about half of those people are U.S. born. That means that, I mean, that's actually good. That half of all of the world's, you know, doctorate level people are actually from the United States. So it's not like other countries are better educated in that sense. It's just that we're doing all the education here. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, not all, but a large fraction. We are the largest grantor of doctoral degrees. And if you look at earlier on in the education system, if you look at undergraduate degrees, then China, Japan, Korea, and a few other countries have many more of their degrees concentrated in science and engineering than we do. But if you look in at the doctoral level, we lead the world.
Okay. You know, we do have a call for somebody who has a comment or question.
Good.
Fred, I understand you have a question regarding illegal immigration.
Yes, both legal and illegal immigration. Excellent show, by the way, and thank you for my call, Ann. Listen, this is a subject that I'm familiar with. I have an acquaintance who he's a PhD from India. He has a business where he farms out other PhDs. He brings them over from India, and they have different degrees, whether it be expertise in electronics, and he farms them out to IBM and other corporations. I have no problem with giving work visas to highly educated people, but we're giving work visas to third world people with no education that stay here after their visas expire, hence they become illegal aliens. They don't come across a Mexican border. They just stay about 60% of legal aliens here.
So you're talking about people who come with legally with a visa, but then they just never leave.
They never leave.
And what kind of jobs would they be in?
Low skill jobs, landscaping jobs. This is what I see in my line of work. But again, I have no problem. But we do need nurses. We do need doctors. We do need engineers. And I don't know. Do you know what percent of the highly educated immigrants that are coming over here for either permanent residency? Do you know what the percent? We're regularizing probably 150,000 people a month. Is that correct?
Well, you know what, Fred? Let's try to answer the question for you.
I mean, the jump all over the map here, but I have no problem. To summarize, I have no problem with giving temporary work visas to highly educated people for permanent residency status because we need them at this moment. Thank you.
Okay,
well,
thanks, Fred.
I just want to add one thing, and this is from the technology companies. The technology companies, because we've been in a recession, haven't actually filled their quota of technical those technical visas. So last year,
meaning that they could bring in more people if they wanted to. In other words, they have a certain amount that they're allowed
to bring
in.
Because we haven't hired enough people in the last few years, they are under the quota. Now, most technology companies that I'm familiar with say that the quota should be increased because we want more people that have PhDs and master's degrees from India and China and the third world nations to stay here. One of the reasons why we want...
Why do we want them to stay here as opposed to... I'm playing devil's advocate, as opposed to our own PhDs.
But we hire all of our own PhDs. Our PhDs and...
We just need more.
There's no... We need more. And the reason why they're so great, the fellas and women from the other countries, is because then they stay here and pay taxes, and they pay into Social Security, and they're
because they make money and pay taxes and help boost our economy.
Right.
Well, they do more than that. I mean, if you're gonna run a small high tech company here, you need a few PhDs or master's people, sort of at the top of your pyramid as the company starts, and as the company grows, you're gonna bring in more people to work who are don't need to have quite that high a level of skill. But if you don't get those people to start the company and build it here, if you can't get them, you're going to build that company somewhere else. So when it grows from a 10-person company to a 50-person company, it's not just that you get the taxes and the Social Security from those first 10, you get 40 more jobs. Do you want those jobs to be here, or do you want them to be in Europe or in India or in China?
Right. It's interesting, 20 years ago when this debate started about foreigners that were taking technology jobs, politicians at that point said they were taking jobs away from Americans. But in the technology space, they're not taking jobs away from Americans. That's not true. There's not enough technology people in our country for there isn't.
So if we had more U.S. citizens pursuing PhDs, they would have jobs
and master's
because they're
degrees
out there.
And technical degrees and chemistry degrees. Yes.
Yeah.
One of the reasons, another thing that's confusing with the political rhetoric in outsourcing, one of the reasons why technology companies had to begin outsourcing was not because they didn't want to hire Americans, because we didn't have enough Americans qualified to do the jobs.
Yeah, and we even see American companies taking some of their research enterprises overseas, partially for that reason, partially for other reasons.
Well, sometimes it does also because it costs them less to do business there.
Well, because in the case of multinational companies, they want to have some of their activities closer to where they're selling some of their end products to understand their market. But there's also a component of just, going where the skill is available.
Right. And Phil, we have technology companies that are a member of the Nano Business Alliance, and they'll post a job opening for one PhD in materials, and they'll get 200 resumes, and 190 of the resumes are from people who were born outside of the United States. And this is anecdotal, but I can give you 10 anecdotal situations like this. And Phil, do you want to comment on that?
Well, to get beyond the anecdotal, if National Science Foundation collects a lot of statistics on the science and engineering workforce, and their numbers are that if you look at all of the college-educated workers in science and engineering occupations in the United States, so this is 2003 is the last where they had a good number for that, 25% of them are foreign-born, and 40% of the ones who hold doctorates in science and engineering education are foreign-born.
So why are not more Americans pursuing those higher degrees?
We're going to have an education show in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a hard question.
Well, no. Well, I mean, I could guess, but it's totally just, you know, like a gut feeling. It's not based on any statistical, data analysis, which is that maybe here there's, when we have plenty of really bright people who I'm sure are quite capable of being scientists and doctors in different, having a doctorate in different areas, but I think that sometimes they seek other opportunities that either sound more interesting to them because we have more options, or they think will be more lucrative, or they can't afford to go to school anymore, and so they take whatever degree they have so far and go and start making a living and never go and finish to get a doctorate in anything or to become a scientist. I mean, what do you two think about that? I mean, that's just my gut feeling.
I don't want to emphasize too much just the doctorate level, because I think it's more about getting more people interested in science and engineering at all levels.
So it's more industry specific versus degree level.
But
okay.
So the fact, the more maybe troubling fact to me is the fact that in China and Japan, for example, you have a much higher percentage of people with their first college degree, the equivalent of our bachelor's degree, who choose to go into a science and engineering field than here. And I think, you talked about some of the things, some of the reasons. There's other alternatives here that initially look good to people, but I think we need to do some things to kind of raise the profile of science and engineering occupations and make them more attractive.
Well, I know it used to be, if you go back, let's say 20, 30 years, 30 maybe is more accurate, being an engineer was considered, very sort of prestigious. In other words, people wanted to go to school to become an engineer. That was considered, not only a good job, but you were bright, and it was, there was sort of a sign that you were an intelligent, bright person. And then somewhere, not that engineering became out of favor, but all of a sudden, all those same bright people who were good with math and science switched to finance because they thought they could make a lot more money. And people who work in the engineering field will tell you there's this huge gap. You have all these people who are, 50 plus, who were engineers, who know all sorts of things, and then there's like nobody in their 40s or late 30s, and then now we're starting to see some more people come out with engineering degrees who are in their late 20s. In other words, they're sort of recently out of school, but that there's this, at least 10, 15 year gap where very few people, went into engineering with the intent of becoming an engineer as their career.
You have an important point there. I mean, there are hard numbers on the aging of the engineering workforce. But you also mentioned something. I think there is a little hope, a glimmer of hope. It's been a while since I taught at a university. I did once a while ago, but I haven't for about 15 years. But the people when I talk to my friends who are in university research now, they see a lot of interest in science and engineering to solve global problems. Vince knows about this certainly through the Water Innovations Alliance and energy problems and things like that. There's a lot of excitement on college campuses among young people in those sorts of issues. And so, I hope that a more societal emphasis on some of those things will help attract more people into these fields among U.S. citizens and residents.
Okay. And so Phil, do you agree with what Vince was saying, that companies actually have the ability to hire more people on, I think you said they were H visas, right? For
yes.
Yeah. They haven't filled that quota, so it's not like they're looking to hire more foreign employees on a visa and they can't because they're restricted.
Well, during the boom in the late 90s, they felt the numbers were too low. If we go into a growth economy again, they would like to see these numbers doubled for foreign-born scientists, engineers on every level, undergraduate, master's, and PhD.
I mean, I think this not filling the quota is a very short-term thing. It has to do with, you know, with our current unemployment rate.
Oh, okay.
Companies not hiring generally, et cetera. All the companies I've talked to fully expect that, you know, as Vince says, as recovery continues, that they're going to need to fill those quotas fast.
Yeah, and we only have about 30 seconds left. So just quickly, do you think that the whole controversy over illegal immigrants is somehow preventing the government from allowing more visas for foreign employees on an H visa where they have some sort of technical scientific skill? I mean, are the two issues is the illegal issue...
A related place where we see this is with the DREAM Act, okay, where you have had people who had met certain criteria, who want to get more highly educated, who have been here and done well in school, etc. But there was a lot of political pressure, at least right now, not to give them a clear path.
All right. Phil, thank you so much. We are out
Thanks,
of time.
Phil.
We appreciate you being with us. Hang on the line for us. We will be back next week to talk more about some of the tax laws and how they affect businesses. And as Vincent already alluded to, 2 weeks from now, we'll be talking about education. So we have a couple of great shows coming up. I hope you'll be there for us. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
And
I can't wait to talk about taxes next week.
I know. And drive carefully if you have to go out. And if you don't have to, stay home. See you later.